Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, your prosperity gurus, Christine Marie and Julie.
Hello, everyone.
What is that tea, Julie? Hi, girlfriend.
I have no idea.
Hey, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing wonderful. How's everybody out there in Blog Talk Radio world?
I can hear the resounding. What can you hear?
I hear the resounding echoes of, yes, we're fine, you're fine.
No, it's good, it's good, it's good. I'll move into a different room if you have to have that. So tell me about your week. First of all, I'm so glad to be here tonight because it has been a long time, girlfriend, since we've been on the radio.
Yeah. I know. It's been almost 2 weeks because we had a wedding to go to, and it was an away wedding, and so we missed, I don't know how many shows we've missed, honey, like 7 shows in the last 2 weeks.
Seven shows.
So
I know.
I miss everybody. How are you all? We miss you. But we're back in the swing of things, and we have an awesome guest, but before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about the wedding. You go first.
Well, yes, because, well, I mean, it was awesome. I mean, we had so much pent-up energy around this wedding. So much energy is always around a wedding, what to wear. And it was your son. It was my brother who got married. And it was a fabulous time. But, you know, the week ahead of time, we were frantic with things to do.
And we had company coming in from California and all the different places. But there really is, you know, I think Shakespeare, I'm not sure, but somebody like that said, you know, all weddings are either comedies or tragedies, you know. And this one was definitely a comedy. It was a great, you know, wedding, great time was had by all. I mean, there was no drama. Everybody was very much adults and yet had their crazy little inner children playing like nobody's business. The music was awesome. We should, you know what, let's put pictures up this week
on
the blog.
We will. Yes, exactly. And we haven't introduced ourselves lately because, you know, we're new to this now, right? It's been a long time. But, hey, we're Christine Marie and Julie. We're mother, daughter, law of attraction coaches.
I'm the mom.
And you can learn more about us. Yes, you're the mom. I'm the daughter. And you can learn more about us at ChristineMarieandJulie.com. And we've got some crazy stuff coming up. One that's happening this Thursday, I mean, besides our Amped Up that always happens on Thursday at noon, we are doing a Mother's Day celebration on Thursday. You know, we're having a good old time, and you can learn more about that at our blog at ChristineMarieandJulie.com, and it's going to be a fun time, and just a lot of other things happening, and we're ready to take the lid off our summer and the rest of the year, and we felt that we have had so much energy around this wedding that we put a lot of things on hold, and
we
think a lot of people have talked about that, but not just for us, but in their lives, you know, well, I've got this on hold because of this, and when Stephen Barnes agreed to be on our show, it was like, whoa, the man of balance, you know, the man of having a life of balance and a life that he always is able to achieve his goals. You know, he sets out on the hero's journey. And
but I'm gonna quiz him on that tonight, though. I'm gonna find his weak spot.
You're going to find his sweet spot sweet or his spot. Weak spot. You
well,
go,
we're gonna,
girl. You go.
We're gonna have. I'm gonna pour him a cocktail of his choice, and we're gonna relax him a little bit. You know, that's what I'm gonna do, and then we're gonna ask the good questions. But you're right, honey. You know what? Here's the deal. This is what Christine Marie and Julie are about. You know, no more waiting for life to begin, huh, people? No more playing small. You know, we're ready to step up to the plate. We do want to live our fullest life. We want to live our biggest life. We want to live the life of our dreams. And you know, and loving kindness is the true currency. And you know, and prosperity is your birthright, right? And all those good things. And we get to tell. We're storytellers. That's what we are. Yeah. Ultimately, we're storytellers. And hopefully. Hopefully on our own hero's journey, we tell better and better stories and more exciting stories and all that good stuff. Huh, girlfriend?
Oh, for sure. And I want to get to the meat of it today because so many times on our hero's journey when we're coaching people, you know, it's always like, yeah, that's a great dream to have and I have this dream, but I've tried so many times I'm still failing. You know, but, you know, I don't have any capital. But my parents are around to support me. But I don't have a great spouse that takes care of me. But it's like, holy cow, you know, when we deal with the hero's journey and we play in that field, we are allowed to give, you know, allowed to touch base on that failure part and say, well, you know, on the hero's journey, you're going to have failures. And I'm going to love how he explains this part about failure and the hero's journey. Because I think when you know we're both certified law of attraction coaches, so we believe in alignment and yeah. Mm-hmm. And but sometimes we don't discuss. You know, our people are like, "Oh, I believe in law of attraction. I can't discuss how disappointed I am that this didn't turn out." You know,
that's exactly
and
right. It's important.
You can discuss it.
It's important to tell the truth, and it's also important to reach for the next best feeling, legitimately, organically. You know. We're going to have some fun talking about this and all that good stuff. So you want to
bring him on.
I say we bring him on, girlfriend.
Yeah. So
you,
I'm going to
bring
on Stephen Barnes right now.
Julie is manning the switchboard tonight. So everyone, if you got questions, just, you know, write them in on the chat room, et cetera.
Yes. And we're going to bring on Stephen Barnes right now. Stephen Barnes. He's got a lot of great things coming up right now, but one is he's an author, he's a screenplay writer, and right now he has a book out called From Cape Town with Love, and he also has his month-long audio program. It's actually a personal mastery course called The Hero's Journey, and you can learn more about that at www.diamondhour.com. It's a great website, by the way. Stephen, are you there?
I most certainly am.
Hello,
Stephen.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great. It's been a long day today. I was watching them. We were filming some material, promotional material for the new book. Actually, doing scenes out of the book out at the beach at this gorgeous beach house. Oh, God! So I was out there watching them film my stuff, and that was always fun, but then I rushed back here so I could be with you.
Oh, thank you. Was Blair Underwood at the beach today?
Absolutely.
Can I say that man is hunky?
Well, you know, he really is proof that mutants walk among us because he really is just supernaturally good looking. I mean, invisibility. It's not just a military secret. Because if you walk into a room full of women next to Blair Underwood, you are invisible. I mean, I could have on a clown nose, and nobody would know that I was there. I mean, and he's also just one of the nicest guys in the world. We actually did some more shooting last week, and he and I did a fight scene together. And he kicked me into a swimming pool. That was fun.
No, you yeah. with your you got like 10 black belts, Stephen.
Well, I got three. I got three black belts. I choreographed the fight scene. You know, I had to make my man look good.
Right, right. Okay, so you choreographed you falling into the pool. You're getting pushed into the pool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I love
he's
it.
He's rescuing a little girl, and I attack him, and he beats me up one-handed. It's great.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah,
well,
so
you
cool.
know, it's such a hard life you have, Stephen. I mean, being able to be there in California, seeing your work being brought onto the screen. I mean, what a phenomenal life you lead. It's just phenomenal. I love it.
Well, you know, I would be lying if I did not say that I was, in most ways, living exactly the life that I wanted to live when I was a kid. And it takes a tremendous amount of patience and a little bit of work every day moving in the direction of your dreams. But I 100% believe that we have the birthright to bring our dreams into existence if we have the heart to stand up and declare to the universe, this is who I am, this is what I want, this is what I am willing to trade my life for. You know, at the end of our life, we all pay one debt. And in comparison to that, any dreams that we have in terms of the material world, you know, are relatively minor. I mean, it's just, you deserve that. We owe it to ourselves and our families and children yet unborn to say that it is possible to actually be what it is that will bring us the deepest satisfaction in the world. I believe that with every beat of my heart.
I want to say too, I'm going to give you just a little bit of a compliment because we toss this word around, you know, oh, he's the real deal and all that. But my man, you really are the real deal. I know that when I first spoke with you, I mean, you said, you know, it's in my heart. I desperately want to get this information out. I want to help people. Also, obviously, you do a great service in your writing and everything, but I think you've sort of shifted in some way, and you know, to have people be not afraid to go toward that big dream, to go boldly, right, into that.
Go boldly where no man has gone before.
And so I ask you, Stephen, tell me though, because when we're coaches, and even in our journeys and my personal journey, I mean, tell me about your journey and the bumps that you've experienced, and how do you get over those bumps? Because I think that's what stops people. It's the obstacles, and one obstacle may be like, okay, I can get over this obstacle. And then there's another one, and then another one. But there's a lot of good stuff happening in between the obstacles, but somehow our focus gets on those obstacles. How do you get past that?
Okay, well, the first thing you have to understand is you have to place it in the framework that the obstacles are not indicative that you should not be doing this. The obstacles are merely indicative of the fact that you are on the journey. I mean, the hero's journey, one of the steps of the hero's journey, and the 10 steps of the hero's journey are very discreet. They come out of Joseph Campbell's work, cultural anthropologist in the 50s and 60s, who studied storytelling from around the world and determined there was a set pattern and that one could find no matter where in the world one went to look at their stories, whether you were talking about Hollywood screenwriters or Celtic bards or Eskimo shamans or African griots. They were all telling the same story. And that story is basically that you have a young man or a young woman who's confronted with a challenge. Initially, they reject the challenge. Then they're forced to or allowed to accept it. They set out along the road of trials during which they meet allies and gain powers. They have their initial confrontation with evil in which they are defeated. That defeat will send them into the dark night of the soul. The dark night of the soul is that moment when it feels that all of your innate capacities are insufficient to meet the task at hand. The way through the dark night of the soul is called the leap of faith. The leap of faith is always faith in one of three things: faith in yourself, faith in your companions, or faith in a higher power. The ninth step, if you've taken all the other steps successfully, is you confront evil again, and this time you're victorious. The last step is that the student becomes the teacher. Now, this pattern can be found all over the world throughout all of time, and the reason is because it mirrors the course of our lives, and you'll notice that like the sixth or seventh step in the hero's journey is you're slamming into a wall. You confront evil within yourself or outside yourself, and you are defeated. You fail. And you go into the dark night of the soul, and the way through it is, like I said, the leap of faith. This is an absolutely essential part of the process of growth. You cannot move from one level to another level in your life if it actually creates change in your life without experiencing fear, defeat, and grief. It just doesn't happen that way. It's one of the most important things to teach our children, that no worthwhile goal is ever reached without slamming into a wall. I mean, it's the slamming into the wall that triggers the urge to grow to your brain. If you're working out, if you're lifting weights, you lift weights until you reach the point of muscle failure. It's the reaching of muscle failure where you cannot do another rep that triggers to your brain, I must grow. It is confronting your goals, confronting your fears, confronting the obstacles that tells your psyche, your spirit, your body, your mind, we must grow. If you do not run into failure, you stagnate. I mean, if what you want is to win all the time, then just play tic-tac-toe with a five-year-old.
Okay? Right.
You're guaranteed never to lose. Okay. But real life isn't like that. So if you hold it that way, then when you fail, you knew the job was dangerous when you took it. You knew that when you head out on this new path that there were going to be new obstacles. And so understanding that failure, all it means is that you are expanding yourself. And now it is time to gain new resources, new allies, and to deepen your faith. That's what that means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I totally agree with that, yeah.
Go ahead, sweetheart.
No, I was going to say I totally agree with you because, you know, life is not full of failure if you're doing the exact same thing day in and day out and you've mastered it, such as you've mastered the work that you've done and there's no expansion. You come home, you take care of your house, and maybe you watch some TV, and you're not trying anything new. And therefore there's no real failure because you're not doing anything new. I mean, that expansion part is that net – does require you to fail at something, because if it didn't, everybody would be there, and that's not the journey. The journey is to have that pull, have that tug, hit that wall. And you're exactly right. When you're building muscle, I have a sports nutrition store, and you know, when does your muscle grow? Is when you've torn it up and it needs to recover.
Right.
And there you have blood flow to it, and then you have expansion, you know? And that's
how
it is.
Well, the thing you have to remember, one thing that's vital to remember, is that our egos think that they are us. Okay? It's great to have an ego. It helps protect you against your fears of failure. But eventually your egos think that they are us and will try to keep us in the comfort zone. Because any time you do something that is impactful enough upon your life that it will cause a serious shift, your ego will fear that it will die. And it will hit you with every conceivable fear and all of the ugly voices in your head, the stuff that says, I cannot, I should not, I must not, it's wrong, I'm not strong enough, what was I thinking about, they'll laugh at me, all that stuff will come up. And the point of that stuff is to protect you. Your subconscious is trying to protect you because as far as it is concerned, change is not good. Living systems crave homeostasis. We are uncomfortable with change. So every time you change, you start getting that same litany of woes, that same emotional stuff coming up. And this is the difference between wisdom and knowledge in this sense is that knowledge is seeing the stuff that's happening. Wisdom is fitting it into an overall pattern. Ah, I have been this way before. I have seen this happen before. And once you start understanding that in every task you've ever addressed in your entire life, there has been this pattern of gathering, of determining what it is that you want to do, sharpening your emotions and learning how to deal with fear, dividing the task up into bite-sized chunks that you can move forward, gathering new allies, gaining new abilities, dealing with failure, and then eventually, after you mastered it, you turned around and, you know, you taught it to somebody else. That this pattern has recurred often enough. And once you grasp that, you know, life is hard, life is tough, and that's okay. We just have to be strong. You know, it is also the best game ever invented. It's also wonderful fun. But you have to be willing to accept the fact that it can be very hard.
Yeah.
You know? And I
love Joseph Campbell. I can remember when I first, it might have been in the late 80s or the early 90s when I really became aware of him. And I remember this, I hope I'm attributing this quote to him, because he said, you know, we need invisible means of support in our lives. And, you know, and I had grown up hearing, oh, that woman has no visible means of support, you know, or whatever. And when I heard him say that, it was so important to have invisible means of support. And I really got how important faith is, how important our core beliefs are. And we need, you know, the ego may not need it, but we need something bigger than ourselves to...
Amen.
That's
what faith is in. Faith, believing in something deeper than our egos and broader than ourselves, something that existed before we were born and will keep going on after we die. You'll notice that no world champion says that they won some particular title or belt or whatever for themselves. They never do that. It's always, I did it for the team. I did it for my coach. I did it for my mom. I did it for my country. I did it for God.
Yes.
Always.
Yeah.
You cannot touch the heights of your capacity when you're just doing it for yourself. You can always do more for your family, for your sick kids, for your sick husband or wife, for the company, for the team, than you can just for yourself. We're just wired up that way. And so when you believe in something that is bigger than you, you tap into your reserve resources. I'm willing to die to bring this into existence because what I care about will go on. And usually, you won't actually die, but what your subconscious will try to do is will try to tell you, if you keep doing this, if you keep running, if you keep pushing or whatever, you're going to hurt yourself. Now, this is one of the reasons why when I work with clients, I insist that their goals be balanced, that they be balanced between their personal relationships, their career, and their physical health. Because if you keep your eyes on all three of those things simultaneously and you say that all three of these things are important, then you can't hurt yourself. You're not going to destroy your family chasing after a career. You're not going to destroy your body trying to chase after relationships. And you're not going to destroy your career trying to be healthy. All three are important. If you do that, then you can actually throw your inhibitions away. You can go full bore, full tilt boogie toward the goals you have, the dreams that you have, without hurting yourself or anyone else.
Yeah, beautiful. So, Steve, tell me in this, you know, let's talk a bit about the hero's journey, and tell me where the shadow hangs out. Does it hang out everywhere, or where do you see the good old shadow hanging out? Pardon me?
In my own life or in people in general?
You can talk in your own life, but we can just talk about it in general. But,
talking about the shadow, by that, do you mean the thing that seems to kind of stalk us and continually try to foil our plans, the lurking fears that we're not enough, the voices? Yeah, well, a very wise friend of mine once said that if you had two things to maximize your chance of success in life, those two things would be, first, well-defined written goals, and the other one would be the ability to take action despite the voices in your head.
Hmm.
That, you know, we are running, you know, most of us have played with computers by now. We have our computers, and most of us have had our computers crash on us. Now, the reason that computers crash usually is because you're running a lot of different programs which are not written perfectly for that particular computer, because even if they're all from the same manufacturer, every computer is just a little teeny bit different. You simply can't, you know, no two snowflakes are alike, right? So you have all these different programs sitting in the computer, and they all pull the computer in slightly different directions. They're all asking it to do slightly different things, and sometimes when you get enough conflict, it crashes. Well, the same thing happens to human beings. We come into the world relatively tabula rosa. We know a few different things. We're afraid of falling and loud noises. That's about it. We feel fear, anger, and love. That's about it. Everything else, and we know up and down, okay? Everything else comes out of those very basic wiring, basic programs that are sort of in us from birth. We learn all the rest of what we know about the world from the facial expressions of the people who love us, from the way they hold us, saying yes or no, and pleasing or displeasing voices, the interactions with our brothers and sisters, the interactions with our teachers, police officers, employers, whoever the other authority figures are. And with every single one of them, we learn different rules. These rules are not all integrated to help us move smoothly in the direction of our dreams. They're given to us by people who in general love us, are doing the very best they can for us, but they are buggy and they have conflicting rules. People say you should earn money, but money is the root of all evil. We're supposed to go after love, but you know, people believe in all men are dogs or all women are just after money, or they try to lose weight, but they're running, you know, rules in their head that are saying that if you pay attention to your body, you're being egotistical, and it's wrong for you to take time for yourself, you know, and on and on and on. And this stuff sits inside us, every one of these rules. And unless you meditate or journal or do some sort of deep structure work to actually take a look at how you were programmed from childhood, the rules that get into your head before you reach the age of puberty are there for the rest of your life if you don't go in and consciously remove them. And sometimes they're just pieces of the programs we were taught. But this stuff, this junk, sits in our heads and talks to us, natters at us, gives us fear and grief and guilt and pain and all sorts of things. It is amazing that any of us get through life. It really
oh,
is.
I know.
Things are astonishing. I love
when
it.
When I was a young therapist, I mean, we talked a lot about the shame core, that we had this hidden shame core that would pop, you know, rear its ugly head, and, you know, the times that we, you know, least wanted it to be there. Are you familiar with the work of Carolyn, I think I'm Miss, M-Y-S-S? I mean,
yes, absolutely.
But what I love about her work is she talks about, you know, coming from this, the first part is coming from the tribal mentality. And so where we're sort of like you were talking about, you know, pleasing the tribe. And then the next growth or transformation that we would want to have would be coming from the tribe to, you know, ourself, you know, finding our strong self. And then after kind of navigating that, to go into, like, you know, that which is bigger than us, you know. But that really is the work. That really is part of the hero's journey, is to be able to navigate that and do it in, come out whole, come out, like you said, safe and a lot wiser and awakened. How about that, huh?
Well, yes, and you've touched on some really interesting things. You want to move beyond the realm of what we consider success ordinarily and into the realm of the questions of what are we really, in terms of heading towards the thing that people refer to as enlightenment or awakening. The comment I would make there is that we don't emerge unscathed. I mean, from these experiences, the part of us that thinks it is us will indeed be consumed and destroyed. But what we really are is not what we think we are. What we really are cannot be changed, cannot be destroyed. So over and over again, as we strip off these masks, we have the opportunity to see who and what it is we really are. The pinnacle of this work for most people would result in creating what I would refer to as an awakened adult human being. That is really as far as most people want, and the state of being an awakened adult human being is what most people describe when they talk about something along the lines of enlightenment, unless they're referring to a mystical state of one kind or another, which would be
right.
Considered cities, just powers, interesting, you know, effluvia that one encounters on the path to awakening and enlightenment.
Was it Campbell that talked about, was he the man of a thousand faces, or what was
yes,
that?
Yes, hero of a thousand faces, that's right.
Right. That would kind of, I'm just thinking that would maybe refer to the stripping away, you know, the peeling of the onion, so to speak.
Now that's interesting. Different interpretation. I mean, what Campbell was referring to was that there are a thousand different stories that refer to the same basic path. But what you're saying is actually quite interesting, that in the process of learning, we have to strip away a thousand masks.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
I think that it would be possible to create a very a very interesting essay from that point of view. I congratulations. That's nice.
Thank you. Thank you. Hey, write that down, girlfriend.
I love it. That's great. You know what, Stephen, you do a great job making people feel good. I appreciate that about you.
I have to tell our audience, though, that even though he sounds really cool and stuff, girlfriend, the man is taken already. He's happily married. Now, your wife's name is exotic.
I'm not happily married. I'm ecstatically married.
Ecstatically married.
I am married to my soulmate. I could not be happier. This is
how he talks all the time about this woman. So she must be something special. What's her name? I can't remember.
Her name is Tananarive Du. She's a world-class, award-winning writer. She's my business partner. She was stepmother to my beautiful daughter and just helped her get through college and just jumped in and took the responsibility where we have a six-year-old son together. We're together from the time I wake up in the morning until we go to bed at night. We write books together. Our third book is coming out. We've done, written movies together. What she is the human manifestation of my muse.
Yes.
My feeling is that the quality of my treatment of her and my regard for her is being watched by the female side of my own personality.
Yes.
To dishonor or hurt my wife would be to separate myself from my own creativity.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it because when you talk about that, I feel the divine feminine come through in such a beautiful way. I didn't mean to interrupt you, sweetheart. Go ahead.
Well, no, what I was going to say is that we've had so many people on that at your level, Stephen, where it's a great couple. I mean, you and your wife, you do your own things, but together you do great things together as well as separate, and you can tell that you have this amazing love and respect for each other, and you're on this journey together. We interviewed Stuart and Janet Swerdlow not too long ago on our radio show, and the same story. I mean, here they are. They're on their own hero's journey, and together they're on this amazing journey as well. And I love how you explain it. Now, in your work, you have, you talk about the three pillars. I don't know if you would use that word pillars, but, it's your body, relationships, and then money. And how those three working optimally gives you this great life. And when one isn't working well, you do feel kind of crappy, but
those are the three things you need to handle in this world. If you handle those things, you will automatically grow into spiritual awareness. Spirit is like the wind, but our relationships, our finances, and our body is like the grass that the wind bends. By looking at the way the grass bends, you know that the wind is blowing. To head directly towards spirit is like staring directly into the sun. It'll blind you.
Mm.
And there are many, many people who've destroyed their lives chasing after a spiritual reality when they had not grounded themselves in the reality of this world, which is why one of my great teachers said you can awaken the kundalini force, would be the seven chakras, which exist either metaphorically or paranormally, depending on how you want to look at it. It suggesting that we have core survival, sexuality, power, emotion, communication, intellect, and spirit, that you can awaken the force of the kundalini, these particular areas of our personality or our psyche operating in coordination from the bottom up. In other words, starting with survival, or you can open it from the heart out, just connecting yourself to the world with love. But what you cannot do is awaken it from the top down. Chase directly after spirit, and you fall into delusion.
Mm. Well, that's a good point. That's pretty powerful. And here's the idea of telling different stories, because a lot of people, when they talk about kundalini, they talk about it almost as something bad happening to them that forced them into this journey. And I know that you don't have – I mean, the way you talk about it, it is a practice. Is that, would I be mistaken if I said that? There's yoga practices.
There are yoga practices that address the rising of the kundalini, but what the kundalini is full access to your intrinsic energy, that energy which is called prana, in Sanskrit are also referred to as numa in Greek, or ki in Japanese, or chi in Chinese, num in several different African languages. It's the same thing. It's basically turning, these disciplines exist to switch off your inhibitors to turn you into what might be considered a room temperature superconductor. You're not in resistance to your own energy anymore. That aliveness, to have the wisdom of an adult with the aliveness of a child, is the goal of so many of these different disciplines. And usually it's couched in some sort of metaphorical language, you know, the golden lotus is standing. But the fact is that having spent 40 years studying martial arts and yoga and these different things, they basically all just collided inside me to the point where I got it. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's mm-hmm. a nice thing about these disciplines. You really can get it. You can't then communicate it in language.
Right.
Language yes. doesn't contain it. That's why, you know, it's like, you know, what's the secret to life? Well, there is one, but you can't put it into words. That's all.
Exactly.
You create a context in which people can learn these things for themselves. And life
yeah.
itself is a context in which we can learn what life is if you pay attention. And you have to pay attention to all three of these things. And that's very important, because if you don't, then your demons will hide in the one of those three areas that you don't want to go looking. If you turn over all three
right.
flat rocks, you
yeah.
get to deal with whatever comes scuttling out.
And I see that's what I call the shadow, what you're talking about, those demons.
Got it. Then I
understand. That's where they hide.
Yeah. Well, this is Julie here, and I just want to say one thing. I was reading over your website the other day, and it was so funny because one of the things that you say about relationships, I do all the time. And I
What's
don't
that?
Word it the way you word it, but I'm going to come clean with you, Stephen.
Please.
You talk about in one of your blogs, you mentioned about how, I believe it was one of your blogs, how a lot of times in our relationships we say, you don't talk about my crap, I won't talk about your crap. And the way I word it is, I let you be, you let me be. And when I read that, I'm going, and it was so funny because in your talks, you also talk about sometimes we're not able to really get into adulthood until our parents pass on. And, you know, being in business with my mom, sometimes it's kind of hard to think that way. But she that
well,
day
then,
had
then
just
you
mentioned
have the
to
obligation
me.
Of don't wait. Don't wait.
Don't, exactly.
Feel,
I choose
feel,
thank you.
Way. There's my huge
now.
Exactly.
Now there is a little difference between, you know, if I don't call you on your crap and you won't call me on mine is kind of what I'm saying. You let me be, I let you be, I think is a responsible thing between two awakened adults. But you don't call me on my crap and I don't call on yours, that's codependency. That's an alcoholic and a drug addict, each pretending not to notice. That, you know, I'm not going to notice the bottles if you don't notice my needles. The first person
right.
who goes to AA, the first person who wakes up and says, I'm going to change, that relationship is over. Either the
mm-hmm,
other
right.
person changes, becomes a different person, or that relationship is over. So most relationships are based upon shared lies. You know, I'm not going to notice these things. And a healthy relationship is two people who are committed to growth, and they want someone who will call them on their crap. They want that. They need that. They crave that. Be my mirror. Demand the best from me. Demand the
yes.
best from me. Give me a place to rest when I'm tired. But when it's time for me to get up and push against it, show me what needs to be done. Don't let me get away with murdering my own dreams.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Amen.
We talk about mirrors,
Amen.
You know, the outside world mirrors our inside world. And you've also mentioned that, you know, who you hang around with is usually, you know, if you're not attracted to the if you're attracted to people who aren't attracted to you, then change who you are. You know, raise your vibration. Do the inner work to become the person you would be attracted to. And that's really key. And I think that starts by loving yourself and allowing yourself to go after your biggest, deepest dreams, even if they feel, you know, far away. I mean, here you are, you're an established writer, playwright, you know, you're on a movie set, you're a great life coach, you have a wonderful family, you know, you have it all. And you didn't start there, you know, you weren't just 20 and you had written, you know, I don't know how many books you've written, I think, I know at least five you've written. How many books have you written, Sean?
24.
Tons.
24.
24.
I said five. I think five was the number that was coming out this month or something like that. You have five books this year
coming out.
Yeah,
I've got five coming out this year. I've got five books coming out this year.
You know, so here you are, but it didn't happen at 20, you know. I mean, here's a life that has been developed and cultivated over time. And that journey can start now. And I'm going to share with the audience because it is about telling different stories. I had to really come up with a belief system today that would help me on my hero's journey and not come from a place of like, well, I've been, you know, because I've been working on something new and I would say, been hitting that wall several times. And it's still a desire of mine, so the desire is not gone. And I had to come up to the belief like, okay, well, I'm on this hero's journey. I will treat this as I'm getting my master's degree. And in the meantime, I will become this balanced person. And when I get there, it will be okay for me. And I know that I will hit obstacles or whatever, but I will continue because I'm learning. And I know that everything that I will need to complete my journey will be given, whether it's my mentors, people that I surround myself with, or, you know, I've been amazed that whatever information I need at the time has always come to me in, you know, a book or a story or on the internet. And so that's how I've had to change my story of like, oh, these small little failures. No, they're not. I'm learning something totally out of my comfort zone. I'm expanding my life. And in 6 months, I've defined my goals. You know, I've got a time limit. I'm treating this next 6 months as my master's program in this, you know, and let myself learn this. So that's how I had to change the story and not just like, oh, I'm continuing on. It's going to be hard, you know. But if I'm going to school and getting my master's, I expect it to be hard. I expect to be pushed by my professors. I expect to be, you know, push to my limits and study hard. So I'm looking forward to that. But it is about telling your past and your future in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, absolutely. It really is. So, hey, Steve, I'm going to give you just a couple minutes break. I'm gonna do a little song real quick and give out your website again. So feel free to take a drink right now. Give your voice
all
a
right.
little second of a break. Okay. So anyway, we're talking with Stephen Barnes right now, and he, wonderful author, screenplay writer, life coach, wonderful man, Renaissance man. And he has, his website is thediamondhour.com. And he also has a website called realheroesjourney.com. But at thediamondhour.com, you can get to his program, which is The Hero's Journey. And it's this 30-day audio personal mastery course, wonderful course. We'll talk a little bit more about that after we play a song. But definitely check this man out. He's the real deal. And he really, you know, when you've done all you can do and you're ready to get to the next level, it's good to bring in other resources and other, you know, mentors. And you are definitely the right guy. And so what I'm going to do right now is just play a little bit of little music and also talk about our prosperity postcards, which you can get at prosperitypostcards.com. I'm going to play a little song.
Yeah. Thanks, Joel.
You're welcome.
Uh-huh. A three-letter word that comes after dot, invented by Al Gore, and he knows what hot. The COM stands for community, so log on, baby, come on, it's free. I say prosperity, you say postcards. I say prosperity, you say postcards. Prosperity,
postcards,
prosperity,
postcards.
.com. Know a little honey from East St. Louis.
That's
first name Christine, middle name Marie. She has a fly daughter, she calls them Julie. They're sending out postcards of prosperity. I say prosperity, you say postcards. I say prosperity, you say postcards. Prosperity,
postcards,
prosperity,
postcards.
.com.
Yay! And you can get those at prosperitypostcards.com, and they're really just a fun minute to 2 minutes of just inspirational audio over your internet, over your, you know, through your email every morning.
It's me and you, girlfriend.
Cool.
It's me and you coming over the internet, right?
Yes, it is. We love it. We love it. And we love our life. I mean, and, you know, I feel good about it. And you can also get more from us at ChristineMarieAndJulie.com. And you can also download our free ebook, 21 Days to Manifesting Your Three Big Dreams. Now, Mom always goes, does that mean you're going to get your three big dreams in 21 days?
You took my line away from me.
I did.
Sorry about that,
girlfriend. You know, well, it's been a while since we've been on the radio. My timing's off.
I know. Our timing's up tonight.
Yeah. Well, it's really about getting back in the swing of things, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, you can download our book there as well. And it's just about, you know, it's 21 days learning a new skill, thinking about a new idea on how you can align yourself with your big dreams. Because
that's right.
You want to start feeling good now.
Right.
Go ahead.
Alignment is like real estate. It's like, you know, they say location, location, location is the most important thing in real estate. And in your big dreams and in your life, it's alignment, alignment, and alignment. And you want to be in alignment with your beliefs, your values, your dreams, you know, and your emotions. All those things get into alignment. And I'll shut up.
Stephen,
now.
Where are you at with, how are you in alignment? What does that mean to you? Because everybody has a different slant on what that means to them.
Okay, well, alignment would mean that your beliefs, your dreams, your value hierarchy, your goals are all moving in the same direction, that you're not fighting yourself. My physical goals support my family and my career by giving me energy, aliveness, and keeping me, you know, attractive. You know, what can I say?
Mm-hmm.
my family is a place where I rest from my exertions, a place where I get to contribute, a place where I get to share love. So, you know, my family does not fight with the other aspects of my life, and my career, of course, enables me to both express myself emotionally and provide safety and security for my family. So all my goals are interconnected, and the beliefs that I have about these goals, at least on a conscious level and to the degree that I can get in and work through the other material, they're all in alignment. So I am set up to be able to move forward towards my goal with no fear that I'm going to hurt myself or the people that I love, that I don't have limiting beliefs that say I shouldn't do it. I understand that I'm going to run into failures and pain at time, and I have accepted that as the cost of living a high-energy, you know, lifestyle that's full of fun and adventure. I mean, if I get, you know, charged by an elephant in Tanzania and my life is at risk, then, you know, to a certain degree, you know, that's, you don't want to get through life without some hairy things happening, do you really? I mean,
right.
don't you want to stumble on the home plate kind of used up?
Kind of like the Velveteen Rabbit, right? You want to have your fur rubbed, loved off and all that good stuff.
Yeah,
well,
I don't want to make a good looking corpse. I want to be all used up. You know? So I'm, you know, my goals support me. I mean, the things that I want to accomplish, I will not accomplish all of them. You know,
mm-hmm.
a man's reach should exceed his grasp, or heaven's a lie. It's the path. It's what do I get to wake up every morning and be Steve Barnes, which is what the kid inside me wanted to be. There's a particular type of human being.
I was just going to ask you. Let's talk little Stevie Barnes. I'm going to talk about your inner child. And
yeah, he's my buddy.
Let's have him come out and play for a little bit.
Okay, he's here.
Stephen, what's your middle name?
Emery.
Emery.
That's my daddy's name. Daddy's
okay.
My daddy.
Yeah. So are you having fun right now?
I sure am. I'm having just too much fun. I'm
That's
playing
good.
With nice girl.
I know. And you're not afraid of all the estrogen here, right?
Oh, I love estrogen. I like girls. They smell nice.
And we're all soft, right?
That's right.
Ooh, I love that.
We're nice and soft.
Girls are also really strong. They can be really strong. My mommy's a girl, and she was really, really strong. So, yeah, girls are soft, but they're also strong, and that is, like, so cool.
It is. We like being girls, you know.
I'm so glad. I like being a boy. Maybe we can talk later off the air.
Exactly. You know, that's exactly right. We'll talk later. No.
And I have a nice lollipop. That's good. You know what I think too, when I get 10 minutes here, but I just rented about 2 weeks ago the movie Up. Did you see that, Stephen?
Of course.
And, you know, I just love that movie. I just I was what I came away with was that at the, you know, this whole journey and everything is that he always had everything he needed from the very start. He just didn't know it. And I think that's what we need to know, is that we're not broken. We're not broke. You know, we really do have within us, you know, if we just listen, you know, all the things that we need. We just have to open up to them and discover them. And I think that's what your program does.
Another Pixar movie touched on it too, The Incredibles, you know, where he said that he almost missed the greatest adventure of all, just his family. You know, the protagonist in Up wanted all this adventure, and what he had was the best life partner imaginable. He had the adventure.
Yeah.
You know, the adventure is all around us. All you have to do is engage. You know, our psyches are the thickest, deepest jungle you can imagine. Hacking your way through that is heroic. The Hero's Journey program is just basically after, you know, 50 years of searching for ideas, how and ways, and talking to teachers all over the world, how can I create a life that is deeply satisfying to me. I'm on this. Mm-hmm. I'm in the middle of this journey between birth and death. How do I do this? And after a lifetime of searching, I got the answers I was looking for. That's the beautiful thing about life. You really can get those answers. Like I said, they can't be put directly into words, but you can create context in which people can discover it for themselves. So what I did with the Hero's Journey was I created a 30-day program. You just listen to one CD course every day, 5 days a week, and then on the weekends, you choose the area of your personality that you feel the weakest in, you know, of the seven major areas, seven chakras, or you know, levels of Maslow's hierarchy or whatever, and you listen to a visualization exercise that deals with that particular area of your life so that you begin to integrate the material. So there's conscious work, and the most important work takes place on the level of the unconscious. So it is. It took me 4 years to create it. I'm prouder of it than anything I've ever done in my life. It's available at realheroesjourney.com, and there's a 100% money back guarantee on it. I believe so deeply that we play the game of life as if we're far smaller than we actually are, as if we're far less powerful than we actually are.
That's exactly
we settle.
Right.
Crumbs when we could have the whole loaf, we could have the whole banquet and invite our families and friends, you know, over. We can have enough success to be able to support the causes that matter to us. We can have enough abundant health so we can work hard all week and party on the weekend and look at ourselves stripped in the mirror and think, yum. I mean, we can find our soulmates. And we can find someone who absolutely lights up our heart. You know, and every time you look at them or hear their voice or touch them, you feel lucky and fortunate, and you know that that's the way they feel about you. That, those things, health, success, and love, I believe that we can have those things. I believe it with every drop of blood in my veins. And that's what I've put into this course, is the core, the most important core of everything that I've learned over my 58 years of seeking.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And I wanted to ask
I can't wait.
Yeah, actually, we're going to get the program because it sounds fascinating. But I wanted to ask you, you know, tell me a little bit about your practice.
Yes.
I think that when people start the journey or they're on a spiritual quest and they're getting more and more information and knowledge and they're learning, turning it into wisdom, but there is a practice that all my mentors have. It's individualized, but tell me about your practice on a daily basis.
Okay. First thing I do when I wake up in the morning is meditate. I listen to my own heartbeat for 15 to 20 minutes. I just clear my mind and connect with the love inside myself and prepare to move it out into the world. Then after that, the next bit of my time is usually committed to helping my son get ready for school. We do yoga together in the morning, and we meditate together in the morning. You know, he's only 6 years old, but he does a little sun salutation, and we do his breath. Of Om, and I have him do the counting so I can tell whether or not he loses focus by whether or not he remembers where we are. I'm just teaching him how to still his mind. Then I will, depending on the day, it's either going to be yoga or joint rotation type movement to relieve the stress from my body, or it's going to be some form of exercise that is designed to increase my metabolic and neurological efficiency, just working on myself, evolving my nervous system, various forms of exercise that some of them come from martial arts and some of them come from the Soviet Union. I journal and I blog, you know, just to kind of empty my mind out of what's come to me since the previous night about the process of living, and I put it out there to the world so that people can comment. I have this conversation going on with people all over the world about what it is that living a life of balance and intensity entail. Then it is literally a matter of getting into my day, working on my writing, working on my coaching. I usually coach on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I write Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And so every day I'm working with all three basic aspects of what I am. Oh, I also will read one scene of Shakespeare aloud every day.
That's awesome.
I've read through all of Shakespeare 1.5 times, and it's both for the quality of the writing and to work on my speaking voice.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that Charlton Heston did that, and I thought, hey, if it works for him, I'll be happy.
Steve, you're just too damn cool. I'm serious about this. I know. I feel like we've just touched the tip of the iceberg, and I want more. I want to know more about this man. Hey, have you ever met?
I'm delighted to come back on at some point. If your listeners feel that this has been valuable to them, it would be my honor to return.
Oh. Well, that's great, because on the chat room, Miss Smokey said to you, I like his energy.
You bet. Like, you bet.
I go, yeah, so
well,
people love
you,
your
Smokey.
Energy.
You know, I interview this is the way I am from the time I wake up in the morning until I go to bed at night. I mean, it really is. I energy increase. Let's, you know, one of these days you should have me back on, and we should talk specifically about how do you double your energy. How do you fill your life with enough energy that you can do all the things you want to do? You can get knocked down and you bounce back up like one of those inflatable clowns. I mean, the fact is that energy is great, because the reason you can't teach an old dog new tricks is because the old dog is tired. If you raise your energy, you can still learn. You're not afraid to try new things. You have more fatigue makes cowards of us all.
Mm.
We can all
talk
about
now
fear.
In your Hero's Journey class, though, you do talk about that, right? In your Hero's Journey course?
I talk about
energy. The energy.
Absolutely, increasing energy. I talk about how to remove fear. I have a technique that comes from a Russian tradition of 100 years of research that the Soviet Union did into health and sports psychology and things of this nature. And there is a technique for removing fear from your life that is unbelievably powerful that I guarantee that none of you have heard of, unless you heard of it from me. So there is everything that you need. And I wrote that. I did the Hero's Journey course because I realized that I might not be alive when my son is a young man, a teenager, and looks around at the world and asks, who am I? Because life promises us nothing. I don't, you know, we live one day at a time. So the question was, what is it that I would want him to know about me and about life? What is it that I would give to someone I love that much? So when I did this course, it was for people in general, of course, but it was that sense of urgency. The human race has only progressed because the elders of the village continue to teach the young people of the village this is what lives will be.
Absolutely. So, Steve, I'm just so humbled and honored to have you as a guest on our radio show. I adore your passion. I adore your energy. I always feel just like shut up and quiet. You know, so I want to just like, you know, vibrate in this frequency here with you. It's so amazing. So I'm gonna just shut up again. But.
No, this is.
See, Mom can listen to you all night long, Stephen. I can. But we only have 90 seconds left.
Well, I would.
And
just
I just
like
want
to
say, first of all, go ahead, Stephen. I'm sorry.
I'd like to thank
our phones
for
are logo.
Me onto the show. And
you're very welcome.
Over to DiamondHour.com and RealHeroesJourney.com.
Yes.
Once again, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. DiamondHour.com.
Yeah, and really, the Real Hero's Journey is TheRealHeroesJourney.com is the real deal. This is if you are really wanting transformation in your life, if you want balance, if you want to have your life start making sense and really feeling good on all those, you know, a really nicely run machine here, you know. And, you know, Stephen, you're the best, and I thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
It's been an honor to be here.
Oh, thank you so much. And diamondhour.com and realheroesjourney.com. And your blog is wonderful. I mean, we can tell you're a writer. and
yes.
It's so fun listening to you.
Yeah.
Listen to your thing.
So yeah, everyone, you're living my life. I want you to know you're living my life. I want that life.
Well, I will give as much of it to you as I possibly can.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Everyone,
thank
have
you.
A great night, and thank you
yeah,
very much.
Yeah, bye, chat room. Bye, everybody at phone. Love you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Have a great
Thank
night.
You, Steve. Yeah. RealHeroesJourney.com.